the pattern, show to thee in the mount. So this morning, or evening, this evening for a little bit, we're gonna look at that the pattern that God has set forward and how we are to worship God today. And understand, there is a right way to do God's will, and there is a wrong way to do God's will. There is a right way to worship God, and there is a place where we are to worship God, and there is a place. There's a lot of other ways, but there's one way. There's not another way to wrongfully worship God. It's you either worship him or don't. But anyways, we're going to look and we're going to see God has set up an order and a pattern. We see here that there was an example. He gave Moses a pattern on the mount. Understand, Moses started it. It then passed from the tabernacle to the temple and now to a New Testament church. It is the exact same pattern that God has had from the beginning of the earth is what he have today. And so when we sit there and look at this, understand, it is not mankind who came up with this way of how church is supposed to be and this idea of church and everything like that and what it is. It's not man's mind that came up with it. It is from God directly. If it's not from God, then what's the point? Understand, if it wasn't for God being the one here and telling us we should be here, there's no reason for us to be here this evening. There's no reason for us to dedicate our life in service to God if it's not God who's telling us how to do it. So we're going to look here. Turn to Exodus 25. First thing we're going to look at is God has had a desire to dwell with mankind. Well, actually, before we get there, let's go to Genesis 3. Genesis 3. So we're not going to go over all this. There's far too much about this to look at. But a couple things we're going to look at is God has had a desire to dwell with mankind. We see in the beginning when he created mankind, he made them after his image and his likeness. He made them perfect and he placed them in a garden to have fellowship with him. We're going to read Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. We see here that one day God went walking in the garden trying to find Adam and Eve. I don't think this was the first time that God ever walked in that garden. I think he spent time with them. You see here, it didn't seem like a shock for Adam to know that God was coming. Why? Because God wanted to be with them. He wanted to sit there and talk with them. I think about this. You know, I have a son. I want to be around my son. I want to talk to him. Do you really think God would create something after his image, his likeness, put a soul in it, put that much detail and say, I don't want to deal with you. No. Go away from me. Parents, do you have kids just to ignore them and not want to be around them? If you do, sorry for the kid. Yeah. That's not how it should be. Yeah. You see here, God wanted to be with his people. And then, sadly, sin happened. And there was a block between God and mankind that he then provided a way for us to be with him once again. But from then on, it had to be a different way than what was originally happened. Because from then on, there was a block between God and man. God made a way for that to happen. Real quickly, turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Understand, the way to get to God has been the same since Adam and Eve. It has always been by grace through faith, by Jesus Christ saving your soul and following the steps that he has laid out. When I say the pattern, the way to get to God has never changed. It might have looked a little bit different at each iteration. It has never been different. It has always been the exact same. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. The way to get to God, the Father, has always been the same exact way. It is by, through, and in Jesus Christ and his blood. You go read John 14, 6. Yeah, John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Understand, no matter what happened, no matter what point of life that we have been on in this earth, the way has always been the same. It is through and by Jesus Christ. So if you're going outside of the way God set up, you're going around Jesus Christ. You cannot get access to God without Jesus Christ. Because without Jesus Christ, you are a sinner. You are a mankind. God cannot dwell with sin. Why do you think when sin was introduced into this earth, he destroyed it? Why do you think God had to break fellowship with Jesus Christ when he took on sin and died on the cross? Because God cannot dwell with sin. Why in eternity does he take away all sin? Because God has never been able to dwell with sin. So understand, for us to be able to dwell with God, a price had to be paid. That price was Jesus Christ and his blood. That's why when you go read here, spoiler alert, the tabernacle is a picture of the New Testament church. We're gonna work our way through there. We're going to get to the New Testament church. Acts 20:28 says he purchased that church with his own blood because that way needed to be bought the same way your soul gets bought. It's by his blood. So no matter what we look at, understand, it all points back to Jesus Christ. And how awesome is it that everything can point back to Jesus Christ? How cool is it that God saw everything in all mankind and he kept a central thing? You know how easy it is when the answer is always the exact same? I loved it in school when the answer was literally just, every answer was B. It very rarely happened, but sometimes you get that test and literally everything was just answer B. You know how easy it is knowing that the answer is always go to Jesus? No matter what happened, well, I don't know how to, go to Jesus. He'll show you the way. Turn to Exodus 25. So keep that in mind. If you are going outside of the way that Jesus Christ has set up, that God has set up, it is not correct. But here's the great thing about God. You can correct it. You can get it right and go the right way. We're going to read here, Exodus 25. Here it is. Exodus 25, verse 8. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And according to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and a pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. So we see here, God told Moses, I want to dwell with you. Build me a sanctuary that I can dwell among you. I will give you the pattern and tell you exactly how to do it. What if Moses changed anything about that pattern? God wasn't going to dwell in there. He was so precise to every last inch. Why? Because God got to set up the way we get to him. All we have to do is follow that pattern that he set up because he's desirous to dwell with us. Turn to Exodus 29. Exodus 29, verse 45. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. We see here, once again, he had a desire to dwell with them. Turn to John 17. That desire to dwell with mankind has never ended. He has always had that desire. Guess what? Guess what eternity is going to be? He's going to finally be able to fulfill that desire fully of being able to dwell with us. Turn to John 17, verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that I may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I just read it there once again. To be with me where I am. Turn to John 14. John 14, verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We read these verses. Who's speaking? Jesus Christ. What does he want for them in eternity? To be where he is at. Now, I can't answer why he wants us to be with him. I can't answer why in all that mankind has done to him, he desires us to be with him for eternity. But I know that that is his desire. And how blessed are we that he has set up the way for us to be able to have fellowship with him. I think about this. How amazing is it? It still blows my mind. Of all the places in the world, Springfield, Oregon, the most nothing town, no offense, the most nothing town that I probably have ever been to, a scriptural New Testament church is here where God wants to dwell with you, where you get to meet with God. How amazing is it? Why does he want to be with us? I don't know. But I see it in his word that he does because he loves us. I can't fathom the love that he has for us of all he's blessed us with and all he's given to us. But I see it's in there and it should encourage us, motivate us to want to fulfill the love for us. We say we love him, but what did God say showed us his love? He showed it by dying on the cross and giving us a way to find him. How do we show it? By following what he set up for us. So here's turn to Hebrews 10. Jump into the very end of this whole thing here. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, at the end of all this, we look at not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. What is the purpose of us being here today? Is it just, I haven't seen Sister Ron in a while, might as well go say hi, see how she's doing? No, it's not about anything else than meeting with our Lord and Savior today. You turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. When we are in church capacity, God himself is here in our midst. That is why we come to church. It is to come to worship our God and our Creator and to come and meet with him. But how many of us show up and think, I don't need to be here today. It's not that big. I'll be there next time. we forsake the assembly. You might show up and sit on the pew. Understand, just showing up it's not all it needs to be. You have to have your heart and mind ready. You have to be here and have your heart and mind free of sin. So God has forgiven you. You have repented of your sin. Here, ready to worship God. That is how he set up the pattern to be. But we think, it's okay. I know the church will always be there. What if God said, I know they'll always be there. I'll deal with them when I want to deal with them. What if God said, I know their sin will be there next time. I'll forgive it when I want to forgive it. No, he set up and said, I want to be with you forever. I want you to be with me in eternity. We should show up and be where God is at. When God says, be here, be here. And that is in church capacity. Understand, forsaking the assembly is not, it's something we take very lightly. It is something that should bring us great shame when we forsake the house of God. When we show up and think it's not that big of a deal. But turn back to Matthew, 1 Kings 6. We already read Matthew 18. 1 Kings 6. 1 Kings 6, and verse 11, and the word of the Lord came to Solomon, saying, concerning this house which thou art in building, if thou wilt walk in my statutes and execute my judgments, and keep all my commandments to walk in them, then will I perform my word with thee, which I spake unto David thy father, and I will dwell among the children of Israel, and not forsake my people Israel. So Solomon built the house and finished it. And he built the walls of the house with two boards of cedar, both of the floor of the house and the walls of the ceiling, and he covered them inside the wood, and covered the floor of the house with planks of fir. We're not going to stop there. Turn to 1 Corinthians 28. Sorry, 1 Chronicles 28. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 19. And this said David, the Lord made me to understand the writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of a good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished the work of the service of the house of the Lord. We see here when Solomon was given the pattern by David, who did he get that pattern from? God. The pattern of building the temple. What did God say? As long as people follow me, I will be where I have put my name. I will be there. Understand, the New Testament church, God will be here. Yeah. Are you going to be here? Right. Well, I don't really need to show up. It's not that important. I'm just one member. One member, try not to get ahead of myself here, but turn to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, we have this mindset, it's just one member. I'm a nobody member. I don't hold any positions. I'm okay. I just sit on the pew. I fill in. Understand, God does not do things just to throw it away. If he puts you in a New Testament church, he wants you to be at his New Testament church. He wants to meet with you, or else he wouldn't have added you to a New Testament church. Do we realize God doesn't do things by mistake? He doesn't do things by accident. He doesn't just do things for the fun of it. He has a purpose for it. We read 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. If you were put into a New Testament church, you were put there because it pleased God to put you there. It is your job to then show up and be where God wants you to be. But we think, I don't have to worry about that. Church isn't that important. I don't have to show up, but God's still going to answer all my prayers. God's still going to be everything that I want him to be, but I don't have to do anything that he wants me to do. That's not how God works. He always says, if you do this, then I will do that. If you follow my steps, I will be your God and you will be my people. If. But we think, it's not that. God has to abide by his rules. I don't. Now you're sitting there thinking, well, I show up to church. I'm here right now. Why is this a big deal? You know what? Everybody who is eventually walks away from God's house at some point was in God's house to begin with. They all sat in the pews. There's been people who sat in the same pews you are. What happens? They stopped caring about why they met with God. They lost sight of it and said, it's not that big of a deal. Understand, if we don't remember why we are here, we're going to forget, and eventually it won't be here. Every New Testament church that has walked away hasn't been because of anything other than, it all boils down to, they forgot why they were doing what they were doing. If we as a New Testament church forget why we're here, God's going to take this New Testament church and say, I don't want you anymore. How sad is that to know? Well, we've been around for 50 years. There's not a lot of churches that have been around for 50 years. There's a lot of churches that don't last anymore. But it's because they lost sight of why we are here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 19. And if they were all one body members, where were the body? And now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. The church is made up of the body. It is made up of the individual members who are there. This church is not this building. Understand, if this building burns down and goes away, this church will still be here. We'll just be somewhere else. We might be in the parking lot, we might be in the library. The place does not matter. What matters is, are the members together at the appointed place in the appointed time? When we call together a church service, youth rally is not that big of a deal, right? Well, no, it's a church service. If you're a member of the church in Springfield and Springfield's having a youth rally, be there. Well, it's just revival, and it's kind of hard to get to every night of revival. Guess what? Revival is a church service. Yeah. Show up. When you are supposed to be in God's house, be in God's house, and be ready to be in God's house. What happened to Israel if they showed up to the tabernacle and they weren't prepared? They showed up to the temple, they weren't prepared. What happened? They died. Yeah, God's a whole lot nicer than he was back then. No, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The rules still apply. You know, I was thinking about this recently. We have a church covenant. How many of us, when we came and joined the New Testament church, read that covenant and realized what we were agreeing to? You understand that covenant is between this assembly and in the presence of God, a promise that we have made to God in this assembly. There's things in there that you should read. Guess what? Showing up to church, it might not say exactly show up to church, but showing up to church is a big part of it. Being a part of the body, being a part of the member, being a member that does their work for God, it is what God has desired. Turn to John chapter 4. 1 Kings 8, real quickly. I got like two tracks in my brain right now going different directions. I'm trying to find a middle ground here. So 1 Kings chapter 8. We see it started with the tabernacle. Then it went on to the temple. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, and the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Then spake Solomon, the Lord said unto me, he would dwell in thick darkness, but I have surely built thee a house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. We see here that the glory of God first came on the tabernacle. When the tabernacle was done, it went on to the temple. Now, turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when they shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Where is that found? It is found in a scriptural New Testament church. That is where we have worship to God. At one point there was a tabernacle, then there was a temple. That has gone away now. You'd go to Luke 16. Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the bodies of Christ. We're not going to turn there, but you go over to Hebrews chapter 9, you see that there was a new way, that New Testament that came in. That happened when Jesus Christ died on the cross. He took the old way out and brought in the new way. That means there is one way to worship God, and that is a scripture New Testament church. At one point when Jesus Christ came on the scene before he died, yeah, you could follow the law and grace under the New Testament church. But when he died, he took it out of the way. There is no other option than to worship God in a scripture New Testament church. I don't care if you think you have a dealing with God. Me and God got our own thing going on over here. I have my own way. God accepts my way. No. It's either in a New Testament church or not. That is the pattern that God set up from the very beginning. And who are we to decide what God does and what God doesn't do? I think about this a lot. That judgment, when we stand before God, we're not going to be able to say, well, I believe this way. No, he's going to take you to the Word of God and say, did you do it or not? You know, when he's asked you, you think, I did all these great services for God. I did everything. Understand, if you did not do it through a scripture New Testament church in the way he set forth, you have wasted your time. Now, that is a sad thing to think about, that you've wasted your time. But understand, you are still here right now. You don't have to waste any more time. If you realize you're out of the way of God, get your heart right and get in the way of God. How is that? Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Jump verse 21. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. You want to know the way to get to God has always been the exact same. You get saved, you get baptized, and then you serve him in a New Testament church. That is exactly what we see in verse 38. Repent. That is salvation. Baptized because of the remission of sins. Because you were saved, you now get baptized. And then what do? You receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What is that talking about? Holy Spirit is Comforter. You go read in John 14, 15, 16. Where is that Holy Spirit is Comforter? In a scriptural New Testament church. So if you want to get the scriptural New Testament church, you want to serve God, there is a proper and a correct way to do it. And God laid it out as easy as possible. You first get saved. When you get saved, you get baptized by a scriptural administrator through the authority of a New Testament church. After that, you get added and join a New Testament church. And then you go on. If you've missed any one of those steps before then, if you do all these great things but you missed baptism, or you missed salvation, or maybe you were baptized but you got saved after you were baptized, understand, it doesn't matter. You have to restart. That's a hard thing to get around. Wrap your head around. Well, you're saying that there's only one way? Yes, because that's what God set up. Now, it's... I don't like it as much as anybody else. It'd be cool if I got to make my own rules of how to worship God, but I don't get to. So it just, all I have to do is fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You go read Ecclesiastes. It's literally as simple as just do what God says. He set that up order in a scripture New Testament church. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. So we read already in John 4 that he worship him in spirit and in truth. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. It is a scripture New Testament church is a spiritual house. You go read in Ephesians, it's the habitation of God. It's his temple. It's his dwelling place. It is where he meets with his people in spirit and in truth. I can't get this in. I think about this a lot. You go talk to people in religion and have no idea about the word of God. They think, well, I showed up to some random church and that's me worshiping God. No, it is in church capacity where he set up his name. It is a spiritual house. Understand, if not all members of a New Testament church are at a New Testament church, there are gaps and there are holes. That means you need to show up. Now, if you are sick and unable to make it, please stay home. We don't need that sickness in here. But how many of us, we use sickness as an excuse? We use things as an excuse. Well, I can't show up to church. Well, if you know God was going to be here today, if you knew that the glory of the Lord, that cloud, was sitting on this building right here, how many of us will look at it and say, I don't need to go there. God will be okay with me not going there. You know, the cloud is not there anymore. The glory of God is still here in his New Testament church. You should be at his New Testament church, especially if you want to sit there and say you're a church member. How many of us, we use that as a badge of honor and then completely ignore everything else that comes with it? Understand, badge of honor, a New Testament church member, that title is not anything to brag about if you are not doing the work. If anything else, it's a shame to you. You go read, turn to Isaiah 1. Isaiah 1. Verse 10, hear the words of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons and the Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moon and your appointed feast my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me, I am weary to bear them. When ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye will make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. We see they were doing all these great things. They were doing the sacrifices. God was not pleased with it because they had walked away from God and his order, his law, because they had started perverting his way. Understand, you showing up, if we are perverting God's way, just showing up is not good enough. You need to get your heart right. You read verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. We see God does not take it lightly when you just disrespect his house, when you disrespect his church. Turn to Haggai 1. Haggai 1. Something I was thinking about when you read... when you read through the Old Testament and you think about your own life today with the Word of God, how you treat New Testament church and how you treat going to church, just simply we'll just say going to church, is a really good indication of your spiritual condition. Because if you can't muster up enough of a love of God to just show up to church and be here at the appointed time and have your heart and mind ready, then it's a sad state to be in if you really don't care that much. You think about it, we'll read this here first. Haggai 1, verse 5. Now therefore saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have so much and ye bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages that put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. These people, they did all these three things, and God wasn't happy with them. Why? Because they didn't care about the house of God. Because in all their things, they did all these works and got everything in their life, but they neglected God. Anybody notice that when you start neglecting God, life gets a little bit harder? Things don't work out the same way. Why? Because if you reject God, God will reject you. If you neglect God, God will neglect you. You go read, we already read it in 1 Kings 8, I will not forsake thee. He will be there. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, saith the Lord. You go read it, Matthew 28, verse 20, I'll be with you all the way even unto the end of the world, amen. That is all the way that you follow God. It's not always. We think of that as, God will always be with me no matter where I'm at. He'll always be right where I need him to be. No, it's if you do what I tell you to do. We already read in Isaiah, if you obey the laws that I command you, if you do this. It's amazing how many times God has to repeat himself saying, if you do this, then I will do that. And yet mankind still gets it twisted, thinking, I can do whatever I want. God will be okay with it. No, he will not be. You turn to 2 Kings 21. 2 Kings, not 1 Kings anymore. Second Kings 21, verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. And he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. And he reared up altars for Baal, and made a grove as did Ahab king of Israel, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts in the house of the Lord, and made his son to pass through the fire, and observed times, and used enchantments, and dwelt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set up a graven image of the grove, and he had made in the house of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and according to the law which my servant Moses commanded thee. But they hearkened not, as Manasseh seduced them, to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. The Lord spake by his servants and prophets, saying, Because Manasseh, king of Judah, hath done these abominations, and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore saith the Lord God of Israel, Behold, I am bringing such an evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whatsoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria, and the pulpit of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance and deliver it into the hand of their enemies. And they shall become a prey and a spoil unto all their enemies, because they have done that which is evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. That worked out really well for Manasseh, right? He did all these things. He neglected God. He put up these idols. He put barriers between their service to God and their fellowship to God with all these idols. He put these things in the way. And God said, I will wipe him as a man wipeth a dish. It was so bad that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. Understand, we read, I love, you go to Chronicles, Manasseh got his heart right, and he prayed to God and got his heart right. You know what it took for him, though? He got the judgment of God upon him. Why? Because he started taking people away from God. How many of us put things in our way of God? Well, we show up to church, but our mind's somewhere else. We put all these barriers, these idols in front of them. You know, you put your cell phone, your job, your family, your life. If it is taking you, your focus away from God and his house, it is an idol. Understand, we might not put up physical idols. I don't see anybody coming here and putting up an actual statue in here. But how many of us have idols in our life that we can't let go of to meet with God in this house today? How many of us can't let go? I pick on it all the time. Cell phones. How many of us can't leave our cell phone turned off for 2 hours to see in God's house today? Well, I have to do this. No, you need to meet with your God. What if God said, I know you're praying to me and you need me, but I'm busy with all these things over here. How dare God? Well, how dare you? Yeah. How dare I think that God will do whatever he wants me to do? You go read, turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings. First Kings chapter 12. Verse 25, then Jeroboam built Shechem, the Mount Ephraim, and dwelt there, and went from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said to his heart, Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of his people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold, and said unto them, It is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel and put the other in Dan. And this thing became a sin for the people, went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made a house of the high places, and he made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered up upon the altar, that so did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places, which he had made. So he offered upon the altar, which he had made in Bethel, the 15th day in the 8th month, and even unto the month which he devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon it upon the altar and burnt incense. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar, and the word of the Lord said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, Behold, a child shall be born into the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and the men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign to the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken, Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when the king Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which he had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand which he had put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it again to him. We see Jeroboam, he made the excuses. It be too much for thee to go up to Jerusalem. How many people in religion, they hear this all the time. It's too hard to serve God that way. You have too much. You are too legalistic. It's too difficult. You go read, what happened to Jeroboam? Yeah, God just accepted his way. No. He literally, you see here, this is where Israel and Judah split. Israel never had a good king because all of them followed after the way of Jeroboam. They walked away from God and they never came back. Why? It started because Jeroboam left the way of God. You sit there and think, how do people that know God can just walk out and leave church? Because at a certain point, they changed the way, they changed the order of God, and they just stopped caring. Understand, it can happen to us. You might sit here and think, well, I've been here for a long time. There have been people who have been a church member longer than you that I've ended up leaving. Because if we start losing the focus of why we're here, if we start losing and forgetting what the purpose it is, it's not a social gathering. It's not because I'm supposed to be here. It's not because anybody made me. It's because we see who God is, and we know that God is here today. If that's not the reason you are here, you need to change the reason you are here. You need to get into the Word of God and see what a privilege and an honor it is to stand before your God, to be in His presence, to get to hear the glory of God, to hear and be a part of His New Testament church. It's not a right. It is a privilege to be a part of a New Testament church, to have that privilege, to one day have the opportunity to be a part of His bride of Christ. We're not going to go look into that, but the bride of Christ, who do you think He picks that from? Just whoever is the saved. No, it is from His faithful New Testament church members. You get to be a part of the bride of Christ forever. What an honor that is. Yeah, it is. If you do what He says to do. It's these simple things that we take for granted so often. You have to go to church. You have to be there. And I love Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56. People like to use the excuse, it's too hard. You're too legalistic. Understand, you're not open-minded enough. Here's the thing. God has laid it out exactly, and He has opened it up to every single person if you just will be willing. That's the thing. I think about it often. People who say it's too hard, you're too lazy. You know, I had somebody one time tell me, you can't be a part of church. You guys make it so hard because you have things every single night. It's too hard to make it to everything, so you just shouldn't go at all. That is a person who just doesn't care, who loses sight of it. How many of us think, I can't make it to every service. I can't make it to everything. It's just too hard for me to, I got too much going on in your life. You know what that means? You need to change your priorities. Isaiah 56, 6. And also the son of the stranger that joined themselves to the Lord to serve Him and to love the name of the Lord, to be His servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of the covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in the house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. I love that verse. The sons of a stranger that joined themselves to the Lord. Who is free and open to be a New Testament church member? Who is available? Who is allowed to come and join themselves to a New Testament church to serve God in full truth, in spirit and in truth? Every single person that follows the way that God has set up. That if you are saved and you get baptized, you can join a New Testament church. It's not an exclusive club. People, they call us the cold. They say, we're not allowed to have any other people. I want every single person I know to be a church member. Understand, it's their choice to be if you want it or not. You can't force anybody in. God has said it's open to all. The question is, will you do it? And will you take the responsibility of it? We're not going to go read it. Matthew 6, 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That means you have to put some priorities in order. Put things first. Turn to Psalm 73. We'll get ready to close here. Let's have the pianist and song leader come. Psalm 73. Why do we need to go to church? Because when we get away from God and we get away from His order, we get outside of the way God wants us to be, we lose sight of who He is and what our real life is. Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly God is a good to Israel, even to such as of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covered them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They are more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore His people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out in them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued, and chastised every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know it was too painful for me, until I went to the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, thou castest them down in destruction. How art thou brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. And thou hast hold me by thy right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Understand, there is no better place to be than in a Scripture New Testament church where God is at. You might look in the world and think there's all these great things. They are so blessed of God. No, The true blessing are the ones that get to be in the presence of God, who get to have God on their side. We go read the God of salvation, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How blessed is the man that hath him as his Savior, has him as his buckler. Understand, if you think that there's a better place to be than an Ascription New Testament church, you have forgotten what it's like to be in God's presence with revival in your heart. You need to get your heart right and go into the sanctuary like this psalmist did, because you will then understand their end. You will understand there is no better place to be than in full fellowship with your God and Savior. Why do you think he died on the cross for your sins? So you can have fellowship with him. Let's all stand and turn to Acts 20. Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The same blood that bought your soul to give you an eternity forever. That is the same blood that bought this New Testament church to give you the opportunity to come and meet with him today, to get your hearts cleaned, to come and have fellowship with your God and Savior for now and eventually in eternity. Same blood that died on the cross bought this New Testament church. How important is it, the New Testament church, to God? How should we treat it? It's not that big of a deal. It's something that I do on the weekends. It's something that comes behind everything else. I don't need to worry about it. That's the least of my priorities. That is a sad and scary place to be. What number shall we sing? 140.